Unscripted.
Unshackled.
Uncouth.
What you're about to hear is for mature ears only.
It's Miguel Fuller.
I would show anything. I'd show my hee-hee and my hoo-hoo and my ha-ha.
Holly O'Connor.
Hey, Daddy, you want to take this to the bedroom?
And Scotty the Body.
I am officially not only the grill daddy, but I'm a hot grill daddy.
Oh, wow.
It's the Miguel and Holly Uncensored Podcast.
Only from Hot 101.5, Tampa Bay's new hit music.
Girl, we is about to be done for the year.
This is true.
And we tired. We're limping to the finish line.
You're literally limping.
You are, yeah.
Literally. Like, my knee is broken almost. It's not broken, but there's something wrong with it.
Something.
Yeah. Right before we started the podcast, we were just talking about how behind the scenes, it is like everybody that we work with wants something from us.
Yeah.
Even corporate, they're like, oh, we need y'all to do this thing and
that's
this thing.
The other thing. You know? Things that corporate could have like sent out at any point when we were like twiddling our thumbs.
Yeah.
They're like, first of all, we need your end of year review, which they always sort of need.
I just saw that. Yeah.
But like, I was just going to be absolutely honest. It is my least favorite part of this company.
Yes.
So just, I'm putting that out there. So that always pops up in the last damn second.
Right.
And then they're like, oh, wait, y'all need to take plug-ola payola training.
Oh,
which,
yeah.
By the way, they sent that email out like yesterday, and they give you three options. One of them is today.
Yes.
And it like the, and then the other two options are next Tuesday when we're on vacation.
Yep.
So, and I'm like, okay, I understand like that's a legal mandatory thing, but also at the same time, do you know how many times we take plug-ola payola training?
Yes.
Like any radio personality that ever had the idea to commit plug-ola or payola,
I don't even know what it is,
should be punched in the face. Oh, well, Scotty doesn't know what it is, so that's why we need to take the
training.
There we
go. That's why we got that. You're the reason. You're the reason.
It's your fault.
You're the reason.
Well, hold up.
You're the reason.
The problem is that we were notified yesterday.
Yes, that is.
That's where it's annoying. Back. And I'm like, okay, of course I have the time, but I don't want to make for it.
Well, that's the thing. With any business you work in, before you go on, if you have the opportunity to go on like a long holiday break, it is just
or
painful.
Any vacation.
Yes.
Because you always have to do more work to take the time off.
Yes. And they're like cramming everything in. And I'm like, and my patience is a little bit more thin than normal because of my leg right now. And I'm trying when every email that comes in not to like send off a sarcastic, like bitchy email. Mm. And I'm really trying because I feel like that's not Miguel Fuller move. But I feel like I'm real close to saying per my last email.
Mm.
Bitch.
Oh, dear. Because you know that's what that means. Per my last email is, if you had a bleeping brain, you'd know the answer already.
I just feel like we are limping towards the end of 2020. Like
it's just been a lot.
It's been a year of shit.
Oh, what?
Shit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's no other way to put it. There's no other more eloquent word to say.
Everyone's got family stuff. Like, I know, Scott, you got family, like, health issues going on. Mm. My mom has health issues going on. And it's why? Why always in the compiled, and I made that word up, in the end of the year? Because, like, my mom's dentist is, like, doing too much. Like, she's extra, I feel like. And I have the same dentist, but I'm like, just no. We're not doing that right now. But my mom's like, oh, we got to get so, like, she had to get a retainer. But then in the course of the time that she got a retainer for her nighttime stuff, it's like a mouth guard, it's moved the top teeth. And so my mom's like, look at my teeth. Do they hurt? And they look like they moved. So I'm not going to fix that. And then, like, she's got some nonsense going on with, like, her thyroid. And we had to go get that checked out. Now she needs a biopsy. And I'm like, y'all, girl, it's too much. And then at school, I don't know if this is how it is for your kids, but like for some reason, why they have to cram everything in before the break, like just do it in January.
Right.
So like they're doing all the most at school too. So they already have their normal school stuff. My daughter got into this other, you know, program in addition to her normal stuff. They've decided to put like two extra assignments in that are due this week. Then they also have an extra, what was the final extra thing? They had to, like, color something extra for one of the people. And they had to, we have to do, I don't want to give too much away because I don't want you to know where my daughter goes to school.
No.
But there's like one extra other thing that needs to get done. And all these emails like flooded in yesterday. They're like, oh, don't forget this paper. Don't forget that paper because you're going to need it if you could just make sure to get it before the break, which is Friday. So I'm like, y'all, I have a 7-year-old who's like, how much do you want me to make her do? Because yesterday was a bad night because we had to do extra stuff.
I just feel like as an adult, I sometimes want to do that pouty things that kids do and just be like, I don't want to do it.
She did.
I don't want to do it. Yeah, I don't want to do it. I don't want to respond to an email. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it.
I know.
I don't want to do it.
I know.
I don't want
to. I don't. Like when my mom had to get like... When we got the call about having to get a biopsy, even to the woman at my mom's doctor's office, I was like, really? Like now, we don't need this. She was like, I know, I'm sorry, but if you could just schedule that. I was like, no, I will. I just, like, well, it's a lot.
I mean, that's how I feel right now with my knee. And when yesterday I went, because I heard it somehow, it's been class the weekend of Thanksgiving, still dealing with it now, you know, 3 weeks later. And then it dawned on me this weekend, I was like, oh my gosh, we're going out of town Friday to like this cabin where like we were going to like do stuff outside, sit in the hot tub. Like I probably was be sitting on the couch in this cabin this whole time while everybody does stuff. And so when I went to my orthopedic surgeon doctor yesterday and he like felt around my knee and was like, you know, and it hurt and I slapped his hand away.
That's pretty funny.
And then they were like, all right, well, we're going to have to get you an MRI. So then when I called to get an MRI and they were like, we don't have any openings until next week. And I was like, no, no.
You're like, no, actually, just do it.
I did. Just cut it off. Just cut
throw
it off.
Out the whole knee.
Yeah. So it's just like this year, everything that you thought you wanted to do, it's not going to happen.
No.
Or it didn't happen.
Let me interject with one piece of what I believe is good news, though.
Please, because I feel like the last 5 minutes has just been nothing but hellfire.
Yeah. So I do have some good health news in one aspect of life.
Okay.
So I have a brain tumor, just to pile on.
Wow, Holly, that is, you are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy.
Okay. And it's funny because sometimes, like, I think about that meme, by the way, where people, it's like a funny thing where they're like, I don't know if my headache is from dehydration or all the work I have to do or the fact that I stayed up too late scrolling Instagram or I have a brain tumor. And I'm like, no, but I really do. But I do. So, and of course it's, you know, stressful having it, but then I don't think about it a lot of the time.
Does it hurt?
No, I have no symptoms whatsoever. And it is a meningioma, which is a non-cancerous, slow growing tumor that typically, grows from like, you know, you have like a layer of like, a membrane layer over your brain.
Mm-hmm. To keep it protected?
Yes. It's called the meninges. And that's where this type of tumor grows from, that layer. So it just, it's like kind of like growing in towards my brain. So I've been, oof. I know. Girl.
I just literally thought about the gray matter, and I thought about someone touching my brain.
And, like, something in there that's not supposed to be
like between
moving
the
it. Yeah. Like, moving. It's like, I think it's, like, starting to poke down in between two of the little ridges.
It's like if you have tiles, and you have, like, dirt, and then, like, you're trying to get the broom.
Yep.
You're trying to, like, sweep it up,
like,
but
get
you
it
can't.
Out of there.
Yeah. Like, and then you gotta, like, get your finger in there and get it. Like, that's...
Now I thought about it that way.
Like, I feel like my brain itches now. Yeah. I want to scratch my brain.
I know. It's in there. So, like, at the very beginning of this year, I had an MRI, again, because I've had several. I've discovered this in, like, July of 2018. So I've known about it for a couple of years now. So I've, of course, been keeping up with MRIs. And the only doctor I ever saw was the doctor that performed the surgery to remove this exact same type of tumor from my mom's brain back in 2017. Mm. So it's familial. You know, it goes down through whatever. And so I've been seeing her. And then back in January, she's like, well, it's probably at the size where you might want to think about doing something, either like a laser gamma knife procedure to stunt it, kill the growth.
Gamma knife?
Yeah, it's like it's a ray. Like, you don't go in your skull. It, like, shoots radiation into the tumor and stops it from growing.
Wow, that sounds like space.
It does.
Wow.
I'm getting to the good point in the story. I promise. I'm sorry. or actually have surgery to remove it. And so I went and visited the Gamma Knife lady, and she's like, I don't know. I mean, we could, but you're young enough. You should probably just have it removed, because the Gamma Knife thing is not guaranteed to be permanent for your whole life. It may eventually start growing again. And I was like, oh, why is this options? Yeah. Well, anyway, then the pandemic hit, and I'm like, not doing anything with it now.
No.
Old Pebbles is going to just stay up there, because I'm not going to voluntarily going to a hospital in the middle of COVID times. Well, now the COVID times are kind of like, you know, we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. And then I started thinking, I really would like a second opinion. Not to say like I believe it exists. Right. I don't think that it's not there. But I've never seen another brain surgeon who might have a different angle. So I found someone, thanks to actually one of our M&H fan members, who has a really great reputation and works at USF Health. Mm. And so I'd like to get in to see him. So I wanted to get another MRI done. Just to kind of see where we're at.
Right.
So I went and got an MRI done the week of Thanksgiving. So it had been almost a full year between the, you know, I had one in January. Now I had it at the end of November, about a year. And I'm waiting on this guy to call me back, the USF Health guy. And I need to call again. I hate when I continually have to follow up doing it. So I need to call back and see if I can get in with this guy so he can take a look at this MRI. However, my normal doctor who wrote the thing for me to go get the MRI Thanksgiving week, she's like out of town or something, but one of her colleagues wanted to set up one of those, like a FaceTime call with me. They're like, well, we wanted to go over your results with you. And I was like, that probably doesn't sound like it's good. Why they got to go over my results? I know what I got. Why they going to talk to me about it? Well, he got on the phone with me. And he's like, as you know, I'm sure, right? You know. I'm like, I know. I got a meningioma. It's in there, you know, hanging out. And he's like, well, I did want to let you know that from what I can tell, it hasn't grown at all since January.
Mm.
It's the same size. It hasn't moved. I'm like, oh, God, it could move.
Ooh, does it sprout legs and, like, crawl across
Jesus,
your brain like
no.
an ant?
Oh, my God, no. No. Anyway.
I can feel it in between my crevices.
So he said it hasn't moved, it hasn't changed, and, you know, he was saying that that's a good thing over the course of 1 year, and that I don't have any symptoms from it. And so I was like, well, this one brain surgeon I've been seeing said that it might be time to do something about it. And he's like, well, the good news is that since it hasn't gotten any bigger, and since you're not having any issues with it, you might not have to do anything about it for a while. He said, and then what you could do is just, you know, keep getting every 6 months or every year, getting another MRI to obviously keep it an eye on it and monitor it. And then if it starts to look like it's getting bigger, then you make that decision. And I felt like that was great news.
That is good.
Now, I know that there is a train of thought to like, you know, it's there. You could just schedule the surgery and get it taken care of.
Yeah, that's...
I got it.
Yeah.
But I also am not hugely fond of the thought of going into my brain unless absolutely necessary.
Right.
Yeah.
Well...
Just because of what my mom has all been through, I'm afraid, you
absolutely.
Know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Even if your mom hadn't been through it, the fact that they're opening up your body and your skull...
Yeah.
To like go in there and see what's going on, that would be scary for anybody.
Right.
What? So if
I felt like that was my good news. Sorry if it wasn't.
No, it's fine. I'm depressed now, but it's fine. No, I'm kidding.
It was good news. I thought it was good news.
No, I'm crying right now. It's fine. I need some medicine. What if? Is it possible that if it doesn't grow, like let's say we go another year and it doesn't grow, that it's done, or?
It is possible.
Or is there no telling?
Well, there is no telling. However, I will say my aunt has had a meningioma for apparently quite some time now.
Oh.
And found out about it even before my mom found hers. This is just all, come on, everybody in my family.
Everybody.
Sign up for it.
Ugh.
So she has one in like the back of her skull area, and it doesn't grow. It hasn't, they don't think it's grown for years. Mm. They have no idea from whence it came or at what time.
Right.
But they just monitor it. Now, she gets headaches sometimes, but nothing happened and it's still there and they're not going to do surgery. So it's possible that it just doesn't grow anymore. And if it doesn't, I'm not taking it out.
No, I agree.
It does grow, obviously we'll have to look at some things, but I'm almost at this point, and I understand what the lady told me, but I'm almost more inclined to do the gamma ray procedure, the gamma knife, and then just keep, I don't care if I have to keep monitoring it. And then if it does, you know, start to grow again, shoot it up with the knife again, the gamma knife.
Can we call it the space knife?
Sure.
I just feel
like. Sounds similar enough.
Yeah, I just feel like that sounds more like you're going into space. Like, Holly's having a space knife procedure.
Right, space knife in my, on my brain.
Like you're being sucked up by UFOs and they're going to suck it out for you with a space knife.
Mm-hmm. That'd be really nice of them to do it.
I don't know whether they suck it out.
No.
They can just kill it.
No. Well, listen, they're aliens, so they can. You don't
That's
know,
true.
Girl. They got powerful suck features that we don't know about.
We don't even know about it. So, wow. Yeah. So, I feel like those are, like, some options that I'm looking at now. Because remember, like, we talked earlier this year. I was like, well, I'm either going to take time off in the summer or time off literally now at Christmas to get brain surgery. And I just feel like the fact that I don't have to do that right now. I'm thankful for it.
No, that's good. Because I remember we were planning for you being out for maybe like a whole month in the summertime or something just for recovery to see. And then we were trying to figure out like what we would do in that case.
Right.
So that's great. We don't have to figure that out and that you're going to be okay.
I know. I'm glad for it. I mean, obviously, I'm going to have to do something about this at some point, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, it's scary.
I think that's one of the, another scary thing about getting older is when you start to see like your health.
Yeah.
And you start to see how it really impacts you. And like watching my grandmother go through what she's been through and then watching my mom now go through her stuff with her brain aneurysm and her trying to like get back on the horse because she's supposed to start back work.
Oh.
Monday coming up.
Oh, wow.
And she's just like still not 100%, but like she's got to make a living and she's got to pay her bills. And it's stressful. Mm-hmm. It's just when you get older and then you start to see the reality of the world and how harsh it can be, it just gets scary sometimes. Like when you see how truly cruel, not just people, but how time and life can be towards you.
Oh, yeah.
And how it's so hard to maintain that like positive outlook when stuff just continues to happen to you over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
That it's so hard to be so like, I love the world. I love everybody. Ha, ha, ha. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, I can give you 20 reasons why life ain't so grand and why it ain't so great. And it
but
is
you
got to
find
hard.
The one. You got to find the one. And unfortunately, it's so hard.
Yeah.
That's why when we do all the feels, you know, and we're like, I like to qualify it with, you know, take responsibility for the energy you bring into your space. We know that's not easy.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's not.
Right.
And that's why we do this segment. But yeah, so I just wanted to share my little bit of good news because per that doctor's call, he's like, yeah, I don't you have to do it. Like, you don't have to jump into action right now.
But so. We got the space knife if you need it.
Right. And I would rather do the space knife. Like, space knife me up. It's about to be 2021. If there's a space procedure instead of using an actual knife to make my skull open, let's do that.
Suck it up. Also, with being an adult on that vein, we haven't really gone over the election.
Oh, my.
We're going down some dark tunnels today. Oh, okay.
I mean, why not? Listen.
I mean, I didn't mean to make it a dark tunnel.
Yours is it. Miguel, I sense it. I see it. I feel it.
I see the darkness in you.
No, yeah, you're in that mood where you're like, I'm going down into the darkness, and I'm gonna live it up right now into the darkness.
If you were Anakin Skywalker, you would be like leaning towards the
dark side
right
you'd
now.
Have like the red eyes going right now with the cloak over your head and about to cut up some people with your lightsaber.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I've learned to embrace my darkness. Like, I used to act like it wasn't there, but sometimes I need to tap into it, and today's one of those days.
What?
No, it's interesting. Like, this is going to take it in a whole different direction. I don't want it to go there, but
no,
it is
please.
Funny because it's like, as soon as it's like you feed it. It's like, and this is not just you. This is like anyone. Like, this conversation, like, where it's about to go, it's like, I'm going to feed it. Like, I feel like crap. Feed the crap.
Yeah.
That's how I get when I get, like, again, this doesn't happen often, but when I get angry and I just enjoy that feeling of, like, I am so mad right now. I'm going to find any reason to be mad, and I'm just going to live in it.
Well, because I feel like what I've learned is you have to have a balance. And, like, when I used to just ignore the, like, evil side, and when I say evil side, I'm not going out and, like, killing people or anything like that. But just being, like, completely honest with my reactions to stuff. Like, this morning on the air, when, Holly, you were talking about Guardians of the Galaxy and about, what was it? What was the last Avengers movie?
Endgame. Yeah, because we were like having a playful thing about how I'm like, no, I'm going to spoil it. And you're like, everyone dies.
I was like, everyone dies. Like, that's something
It did have comedic effect, but also you were serious.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, because, like, there is always this side of me in the back of my head that, like, wants to be that dick or wants to be that person that, like, ruins stuff or just
Fun. That's okay.
But, like, I never like, give in to it except for today when I was just like, everyone dies in the movie. They all die. They all die. It's been 2 years. You should have watched the movie.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't have the time.
I don't care. It's not my responsibility. They're all dead.
So you'd be the dick today, and Scott would be the deer, and I'm the dork.
Yes. That would be how it all square out.
Yeah.
But I feel like sometimes you have to, like, feed into it, and you have to, like,
let it.
Well, you
have to acknowledge it.
Exactly. And today's one of those days where I'm just like,
you just want to really acknowledge it.
I should have put on my black Harry Potter cloak today.
Yeah, it would have made a little more sense right now.
All right, well, you know what, Miguel? In honor of your darkness.
Okay.
Let's open Pandora's box a little bit.
Okay, so I will say this. If you are sensitive to politics, if you do not agree with our politics, then maybe this part of the podcast you don't want to listen to, because I'm just going to, like, let the filter off.
Oh.
Because I haven't on social media, I haven't on the show, we haven't had the opportunity on the podcast, but there are just some things that I just want to just get off my chest.
Okay.
That have just been eating me up inside.
Mm. Okay. So we'll get, this is now your time if you'd like to shut off the negative energy that's about to pour out of Miguel Fuller and possibly the rest of us as we get sucked into his whirlpool, then this would
Can't
be the time.
Can't suck me in, but I'm going to talk about it.
Okay.
Donald Trump
is
one of the worst human beings we have ever encountered in America.
Okay.
He is actively trying to destroy our democracy. And for people, and I'm sorry if this is you, who try to defend him at this point, it is now December 15th. The electors, the Electoral College have certified the votes. There's one more thing that we have to go through January 6th to make it officially official, and then the inauguration.
Mm-hmm.
If you are still one of those people saying the election was stolen, I'm sorry, but you are dumb. I can't fucking not. All these fucking years, we have sat here as Democrats, as liberals, you've called us pussies, you've called us snowflakes, and we've gone with it. We've like, you know what? Well, we will regroup and we'll
work cried
harder.
Our liberal tears.
We cried our liberal tears at our marches, and we had our posters, and we had our signs, and you told us that we were pussies for doing marches.
Mm.
You told us we were pussies for being sad that our person didn't win. Now, you're actively trying to fucking ruin democracy. I mean, like, literally, he's not saying let's recount. They're saying let's throw out votes.
Throwing
when
out
there
votes,
is
yeah.
no proof. And we're talking about major Democratic cities where there are black, mostly black people there. They're basically saying, let's throw it out. And now every conservative judge that they have put into place,
right.
because that was their fail-safe, was, well, you know what? If we don't win, we can go through the courts. They were like, get up out of here. You're ruining the Constitution.
Literally.
You're ruining the Republic.
Yeah, it's been what is it, thrown out?
Yes.
By the judges.
Let me tell you something right now. The 70-plus million people who voted for Donald Trump, and I am praying to God that half of those people are like, you know what? I voted. Because I've met some people who, and that was a little harsh. If you voted for Donald Trump, I'm not saying you're dumb. Because I've met plenty of people that were like, hey, listen, I just see his worldview that way, not the racist
part
or whatever.
It's also inaccurate. So you can't.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm hoping that the 70-plus million people, half of that, we're like, all right, I voted, he lost, let's move on.
Well,
who's going to be my next candidate for the Republican Party?
You can tell that there's a good majority of, like, normal Republicans,
right,
who maybe got on like the Trump bandwagon, and now they're just kind of like, well,
right, all right,
on to the next thing. Because in your actual life, it probably doesn't impact you daily,
right?
So, I mean, like, there's plenty of folks that are just like, all right, just
listen,
pull my banner down, and go about my life.
That's how I felt after John Kerry when he lost after the election, because I had started the Young Democrats Club on my campus, and I was like, listen, we didn't really like him either, but we had to. But now we can find the next person, so that's fine. But for the other half of the people that I've seen with the flags and the rallies, and they're like, it's fake, the election was stolen, how? Like, please, I want someone to tell me this. And
but
I've had
they
a few-
do, though. They come with their conspiracy theories, exactly, about, like, boxes of votes.
And I'm like, okay, so did you actually read when his lawyers went to court?
Right.
They didn't present that information because it's not real.
Because they knew it would, that they would be thrown out for
laughed
perjury.
Out.
Not laughed out, like disbarred.
It's not real. Like, it's not real. You are being duped. You are, and not even listening to, like, liberal podcasts, because I listen to both. I listen to Straight Down the Middle, and I listen to liberal podcasts. If you just actually read what they said in court, you will be like, oh, damn. They really, like, don't have any evidence.
It's a show. It's a show.
But, like, here's the thing. That show is ruining democracy.
Yes.
So, yeah, like, let's take 40 million people in the country. Let's say you got 40 million diehard Trump people that are like, I'm still going to show up to the Trump rallies afterwards. Joe Biden's not my president. These people are going to make it difficult for our government to move forward, because what's going to happen are the Republicans that are in there, the Mitch McConnells and all those people and the Ted Cruzes and the Marco Rubio, they are going to play to those 40 million people and hoping that just those little people, in the way that we have, the way that our counties, our districts are drawn, mm-hmm, they're going to try to go after those people and let that tiny little base dictate what the other 250 million people in the country are about. That's the scary part. And that's the part when you pull back and you look at the big picture, that's why this moment is so scary, mm-hmm, and why a president who we've had 300 years of tradition, 200 plus years of tradition, and he's just fucking it all up.
Yeah, and it's interesting because with, like, the concession of the win, mm-hmm, and he hasn't basically yet.
No.
It's not a law that you do that.
Right.
But it's just that every other human in that office has done it for the good of the country.
Exactly, right. Yes.
And so I read a really interesting article because, so I'm really interested in this this entire topic psychologically, and I'm sorry if I took this in a, if you weren't wrapped up.
No.
I have been very interested psychologically about what's going on in America, not just with Americans and the divide that we're seeing, but also with Donald Trump himself, because I just, this is the part where you're going to roll your eyes if you don't, you know, if you're not on board with this. Like, I feel other people's emotions. Mm-hmm. There's this thing, it's being an empath, and I used to call it a woo-woo thing too, until, like, there's only so many times you can be smacked in the face by your own intuition and gut feeling and been proved right to yourself that you can't ignore it anymore. So I can feel things. And I've felt this type of way about Donald Trump for a long time now, where I get, like, actively, like, sick, right, sometimes, based on, like, what's being said or the way that it's being said. Yeah. And it's like a value thing where I'm like, I value people who are, you know, kind and respectful of others. This is, mm-hmm, not a president who does that. So I just, that started it. But then, mm-hmm, it's like when you see, like, the different moves and the different, you know, whatever it is. So let me bring it back. The article that I read was a psychologist who was going down the list of reasons why they believe that Donald Trump has severe narcissism and how he probably, because it's all an assumption, obviously, this person, mm-hmm, didn't actually give a medical diagnosis.
Right.
But the assumption is that why he's a narcissist and what must have happened in childhood to make him that way.
Mm.
So after I got done reading the article, I was actually like, wow, okay, if I can, like, remove the politics, and I can remove the everything for a moment. And just as a human, think about another human who has been created this way. It's actually very, very sad. And it was the first time in my entire life that I felt a twinge of what I guess could be considered empathy for Donald Trump, because you don't just get this way out of nowhere.
Right.
So it's like children that are raised without like a loving parent, or they have a parent, but the parent abuses them of some way, and it can like fully and utterly damage a child. It's just so happens to be that this man who was that damaged child somehow managed to, you know, develop this narcissism, and then it actually made him very successful. You see other mentally disordered people in high positions of power sometimes too, because some of the traits that go along with narcissism or like grandiose thinking actually make you employable and successful in what America considers a successful business model.
Right.
You know, like especially men, if you're a dick and you're just getting done what you want in your business, that's like applauded.
Mm.
So this is how he's made his way up the ladder. And then, you know, but the problem with narcissists are they don't feel empathy for others. They cannot. They're consistently afraid that they're going to be discovered for what they are, which is completely empty on the inside. Like it's a mask. And so all of these points that the author of this article was making, the points were valid. Like they were listing like, you know, political things that had happened and how that related psychologically to what type of disorder this is. And I was like, this finally is helping me make sense. Because what I hear most from a lot of liberal friends I have is like, I don't get it. I don't get it. Finally, it helped me a little bit with my frustration in like, okay, I can kind of get this from a scientific or psychological viewpoint. Doesn't mean I agree with it. Just means like, help me, give me some insight, please. So it, per this article and others that I've read, it's like this psychological disorder. But the problem is like with those disordered people that they don't know what's wrong with them, really.
Right.
It's a huge front. They're just afraid that the front would be discovered.
Mm.
But the people around them that may be, you know, non-disordered, rational thinking, logical brained people, they don't know what reality, you don't know what reality you're looking at. Like, I'm not in your brain, Miguel. I'm not right. in your brain, Scott. Like, we all sort of operate on like a normal frequency. But if we had like a narcissist come up in here, we would imagine, okay, well, this person obviously thinks normal like I do, but they don't.
Right.
And so it's constantly a battle of, and I'm trying to think of a better word than, it's not normal and abnormal. It's non-disordered, I guess, to be politically correct, versus disordered thinking. But it's like, we're constantly trying to be like, how can you say that? What are you thinking? It's a different brain system.
Mm.
That's why it doesn't make sense. But to the people who want to hear like whatever it is that he's saying, mm-hmm. maybe they want that viewpoint or belief or whatever. They're like, nope, my president just said what I want.
Mm.
So it's just, it's so incredibly complex. That's what makes it so devastating.
Well, and it's super hurtful, you know, like as a black person, when we've gone through Black Lives Matter and we've gone through Colin Kaepernick, and when every time you turn around, you're told, well, don't protest this way.
Not
don't
like
protest
that.
This way. We are protesting for our lives, but yet you all can actively try to destroy the republic and
people are like
200 plus years
well, you know.
Of history and tradition, and there's a reason why we do these things so other countries know we have a peaceful transfer of power.
Right.
So during this lame duck session of the president and the Congress, that hey, you can't fuck with us because we have these procedures and policies in place that it's a seamless process. That's why they do it.
Mm.
That's why they do it. And he's actively fighting against that. But those people that are rooting for him, they're like, yeah, keep doing it. Give it to him.
And that's
but,
what's
yeah,
scary.
But hold on. But like when we're trying to say to police officers, don't shoot us, don't kill us. And they're like, well, you're being disrespectful to America and you're not a true patriot and you should go back to where you came from.
Mm.
How am I supposed to just sit down and be like, well, this is okay?
The hypocrisy is astonishing.
And that is what I just can't get over is every day when I look at it and I'm like, the hypocrisy. And it's like, maybe it's that disorder where they can't see it.
Yeah, you can't see. Well, and then, I mean, now that we brought race into the whole thing, I have some thoughts on that too.
Yes.
Because white people struggle. And I don't mean that to say that, okay, let's have some sympathy. No, I say that because we were born into a system that quietly makes it better for us, but we don't see it because we're in it.
Right.
So in order to, like, you know, be woke, like wake up out of that, it's very difficult and it's very painful when you realize what it is. I use the analogy as leaving the Matrix a lot. And I know Scott hasn't seen the Matrix and maybe you haven't either. It's worth a watch. But when Neo finally got pulled out of the Matrix, it was like ugly and painful. And like, he was like, what the actual fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Until like more white people have that. And I'm not saying these are like friends and good people and people who think that they're doing the right thing.
Right.
I thought I was doing the right thing. Yeah. There was a podcast this year, and I wish I could find it because I wanted to have my friend listen to it, because it was either around the George Floyd time or maybe a little earlier. And for some reason, we were talking about being a white ally to, like, you know, people of color. And Miguel, you were saying, it's very fuzzy, but Miguel, you were saying something like, well, you know, you had a point about what we need to be doing. And I felt defeated, frustrated, guilty, bad about myself. Like, I felt all these negative emotions. And I was like, well, what do you want from me? It was like, I was emotional, and I wish I could find it. I wish I could find this podcast. It's earlier this year, and I have to go through too many of them. But I was like, I was at a point of like desperation where I was like, I'm about ready to not give a fuck anymore because everything I do is wrong. Everything you want me to do isn't right. I can't say this, but I shouldn't say that. Well, you know what? Fuck it. I don't want to be an ally anymore. And I was like in tears. And that's me, who's had a black best friend since 2008.
Right.
I felt that. Mm-hmm. And I want to let you know, if you're a white person who's feeling that right now, keep pushing. Mm. Because, and I'm, and it's hard because, again, I don't want to be like, oh, we have it so rough. But in order to get it, that comes first.
Right.
And that's where we're at with a lot of white people. And it's like, it's unfortunate because as black people, I can imagine you're like, I'm done explaining this to you. Mm-hmm. So I'm tired and I'm done.
Right.
As white people, and I'm not speaking for all, but for some, we're also like, I'm tired of trying to understand this and be wrong every time.
Mm-hmm.
What more can I do? And that's like where the people that are woke, or like the people that, you know, are still interested in reaching out, they continue to reach out for those people and be like, okay, please keep going.
Right.
Because it doesn't do anybody any good to give up. But after that podcast, I don't remember what it was. It may have been, I think it was actually when we shared that video of what systemic racism is.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what it was. Okay, I didn't know what it was when this year started.
Oh, a lot of people did. Yeah. A lot of people. It's one of those terms that started being thrown around.
Right.
And people were like, wait, what?
And then you get the people that are high and mighty that are like, oh, you don't know what it is?
Right.
And that, by the way, if you're that person, not helpful, boo.
No.
Right. Right.
No.
Like, how about help educate, not sit on a perch and look down on people?
Right.
That's, those people really annoy me. Anyway, when we watched the video for systemic racism, and I mean this video broke it down to like a child's level, thank God, and it was non-judgmental, thank God, mm-hmm. because it gave me space to learn and quietly say, okay, wait. Oh.
Right.
I'm not saying all, and I'm not saying it's a black person's job to give it to them. But I feel like white people need that beat, that breath, that moment of like quiet reflection of someone to keep like sharing the video, and maybe you stumble across it and like you want to do the work, but you're like, I don't even know where to go to do the work. I was so frustrated, so dejected and downtrodden, thinking like, I'm doing what I think is best. I don't know what else to do, and everything I do seems to be wrong. Push past that and get to that space of like some deep reflective learning, because that's when I finally was like, I get it now. And it's not something that you have to like put online on Twitter and on Instagram. You're like, I've had an awakening.
I get it.
But now that we are bringing up the racial divide, and especially when it comes to politics, for people on national TV, and it hurts me when they're like, well, there's 70 million racists in America. Because for white men especially, you can't call a white man a name that's derogatory.
Right.
There really isn't one.
Right.
So, but that's it. If you call a white man a racist, and they're not, they don't think they are, now they're suddenly like, what the fuck?
Right.
But if they can just take that beat, that space, I feel like that's where the learning happens. But it doesn't do anybody any good to just be like, well, you're racist, so fix it.
Right.
Because nobody wants to hear that about themselves and then try to fix it.
Well, and you got to realize, too, that racism comes in many different forms.
There's so many forms.
And there's the term called a dog whistle, where, you know, when you blow a whistle for a dog, only the dog can hear it. Humans can't hear it. And there are things that politicians do that outwardly it doesn't seem like it's racist, but it is. And for black people who recognize that, it's very hurtful. And these are people that conservatives look up to and say, these are my leaders. And when you hear them say that, and then to hear a friend that's like, I support you, but I'm voting for this person. And you're like, but you don't realize what they were saying was very hurtful.
Right. And that's the disconnect.
For example.
Oh, good. I'm glad you found something, because I had never even heard that term. You see?
Dog whistle. Dog whistle politics, girl. Newt Gingrich, he was the Speaker of the House, I believe, from Georgia back in the 90s. And he's the one that ushered in this major wave of conservative success in the mid-90s when Bill Clinton was in office. He sent a tweet out yesterday that said, why is the Georgia Secretary of State working so hard to add drop boxes and take other steps to make it harder for Republicans to win? Is he really that intimidated by Stacey Abrams? So,
okay, break that down, because I don't quite get it.
So what a lot of Republicans were doing before the election and now in Georgia when they have these two Senate seats, and what the term gerrymandering, which you may have heard, and this is where they try to draw congressional districts that don't make sense to benefit their party. Now, Republicans and Democrats do it. Republicans have been more successful at doing it because they've worked harder at it, and they've had more wins in the Senate to be able to make that change happen, which is why these two Senate seats in Georgia are so important, because if the Democrats win, it'll be a Democratic Congress as opposed to Republican, and they redraw the districts every 10 years when the census comes out, and we just did the census, so they're going to be redoing the districts, and so it could be really bad. That's why it's so important for these two seats.
So this is why the runoffs are so important?
Yes, in Georgia, the two seats. So what has happened throughout the course of time in America is the black vote has continually tried to be suppressed in many different ways. Stacey Abrams, who ran for governor in Georgia back 2 years ago, has a fantastic documentary on Amazon Prime where they go over the historical issues of what has happened with it. This is a dog whistle, because why would you not want to give everybody that is legally allowed to vote an opportunity to vote? And this is someone who is still a representative. He's not in Congress, but he's still a figurehead in the Republican Party. And he is actively saying on his Twitter, why are you trying to make it easy for other people to vote, for black people to vote?
Well, and break it down further for me, because that's, and I feel stupid.
No, not at all.
That tweet sounded very political, like politicky, and I don't understand. I don't get it. So, like, right. What is he, I don't, when he said Republicans in the tweet, what is that?
So what he's saying is, because like all the higher positions in government in Georgia are Republican. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that they were able to flip it blue for Joe Biden, and it was Stacey Abrams and other black women
helping to encourage people to vote.
Yeah. And they've been working on this for decades now. Yeah. They're basically saying, don't let all these like new voters, young people, black people, let's go to these specific parts of the state and only let Republican white people vote, or Republicans, because there are some black people that do that.
Yeah.
Let them vote, but let's not let the other people vote. Because if you have more Republicans that vote than Democrats, then those two Senate seats are going to go Republican.
But I don't understand what he's saying. How is it being made harder for Republicans to vote?
He is saying that the Secretary of State there, who is a Republican, has now been trashed by Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Because they're basically saying, like, why are you, they're wanting to basically have voter suppression. They're saying, don't put the voter boxes out. Don't do early voting. Don't do mail-in voting to let marginalized communities have the opportunity to vote. Just let them vote on that one day and shrink the polling places in minority places in Georgia, and just let the Republicans vote. Does that make sense?
No, sorry.
No, you're fine. We'll talk through it.
So it's like a public moment. So by adding more options for voting, is that discouraging Republicans from voting? I don't understand why he said that.
Isn't it giving more opportunity for the people, like, you know, the marginalized people to vote? Like, you're giving more, it's like more locations for the communities that actually can't get out on that day. Right. Isn't that kind of close to that?
Republicans have been saying since the Reagan era, and they're on tape, you can Google it, that, and Donald Trump even said this, the less people that vote, it favors Republicans, because most people, even if they don't, if they know nothing about Democrats, Republicans, and you just say, here's a set of values, the way that the government should be run, here's another set of values, most people are going to side with Democrats. And so when you allow every single person that's eligible to vote, more than likely the Democrats are going to win. But if you suppress the amount of people that are Democrats voting, mm-hmm. and you max out your Republicans, mm-hmm. then the Republicans' side is going to win. Mm-hmm. And so they're saying, if you have Democrats on this side of town, Republicans on this side, let's just shave off Pinellas County and Pasco County and let just Hillsborough and...
So why is that making it harder for Republicans to vote?
So because the Secretary of State, who's Republican, is uh-huh. saying... Everybody votes. We're putting drop boxes everywhere. We're letting you absentee ballot vote.
So he's doing the right thing.
He's doing the right thing. Okay. And the Republicans are like, but that's not how we do it. It's supposed to be shady.
Thank you.
Does that make sense?
Yes. I was like, why is the disconnect? Because I don't. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand in the tweet why he's like, I'm like, why the fuck would it be harder for Republicans to vote than any other thing?
Right. He's making it harder for them to win by allowing everyone fair. Yes.
Making it
fair.
Okay, because everyone. That's why I was like, because I saw that tweet, because mm-hmm. someone had retweeted it on my timeline, and I read it, and then I read it again, and then I was like, this does not compute to my brain, so I'm just going to keep scrolling.
Right.
I didn't get it.
Right. No, absolutely. And that's one of the things, because I'm such a political nerd, and I read all the stuff, and I'm like, I find it so fascinating. But, like, they have said out loud that the more people that vote, because, I mean, look at all the progressive policies that have happened as our generation has been able to vote.
Yeah.
Decriminalization of marijuana, gay marriage. I mean, all these things that, you know, and even in, like, the past 10 years or so, how they'll still vote for, like, a Republican. Like, we went Donald Trump in Florida, but yet we still voted to raise the minimum wage here.
Right.
And we're getting closer to decriminalizing and making it okay for recreational marijuana.
I believe that's coming in like 5 years.
Absolutely. So think about it. So like we as a state, as a whole, lean more Democratic, but then we still vote for those Republican party people. So that's why it takes more time and more education for people to understand who and what they're voting on and why everyone should be allowed to vote. And I'm a person, and most Democrats, and if I'm wrong, please correct me, are like, let everybody vote. Let everybody, it should be like a full weekend. Like, we should have a voting weekend that's a national holiday that everybody should be able to vote. Because you know what? Maybe there's a lot of black people that are Republican that we don't know about. That's fine. As long as they vote, then I'll happily shut my mouth and work a little bit harder to convince those people to come over to my side. But everybody should be able to have the availability to vote.
Right.
And that's...
Which is what, I mean, that's what mail-in and early voting is for, right?
Right. Is to get people to do it.
So they should do that more.
But Republicans don't like that.
Right.
They're like, right. No, mail-in. You shouldn't mail
in. But see, wasn't there an entire, this is what baffles me, is that the stage was already set. The table was set for, well, don't trust the mail.
Exactly, yeah.
My own mother was like, you have to take me the day of. I'm like, ma, it's the U.S. Postal. You can track it. Mm-hmm. She was like, mm-mm. I don't know. I really think she thought someone was going to like rip up her ballot. I'm like, who? Okay. So the table was set for, the pump was primed for people to believe that mail-in voting was not safe.
Right.
Then when things didn't turn the way Donald Trump wanted, that's his go-to. Exactly. Well, I told you it wasn't going to be safe because I lost. Now, had he won, I guarantee mail-in voting is safe.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, why? Why are we not seeing this?
Donald Trump, and I believe this is the case, and I don't know if it's changed, but Joe Biden's Electoral College win is the same amount that Donald Trump
beat
won
Hillary
in 2016.
Yes.
When he called it a landslide, and now he's calling it fake,
yes,
fraud. And then at the same time, with all this fake and fraud, how is it that it's fake because you lost, but Mitch McConnell, all the other Republicans, they won, and we're not trying to overturn those elections?
I think that's because that's even more maddening.
Right.
To this person who probably has narcissistic personality disorder. That's what makes it even more maddening, because how dare they win?
Right.
But, like, it just didn't work.
That's why I really, really try my hardest to make sure that what I'm reading, what I'm taking in, I really do the research and try to be fair about it. So what you're hearing me say now is me just taking in a bunch of information, making judgments, and saying that just doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound right. Oh, maybe, you know what? Democrats are wrong on that. Like, because Democrats are still trying to find the way in our party right now between the super liberal side, the moderate side, mm-hmm. and the side that's like, well,
the party was really split because mm-hmm. look what happened. Like, Bernie Sanders threw a whole freaking wrench in.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders was no uniter of the Democratic Party.
Right.
He was an independent anyway, but that's what, like, a lot of people were wowed by Bernie Sanders and his policies. So when that didn't work out for them, they're like, well, fuck it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not doing anything.
It's just,
there's been a huge divide.
We are in a sad state of affairs, and hopefully Joe Biden, other leaders after Trump, because he's not going away. Don't think for a second he will not be in the headlines when he leaves. I promise you that he probably won't attend the inauguration like most presidents do. He'll probably have some rally or something day before, which is highly, highly disrespectful because everybody gave him every opportunity to be successful, and he is not doing that. And that just goes to show you what a brat he is, that he will not have the same fucking courtesy to do it for the betterment, for the safety of our country.
That's what worries me. And what worries me is that that's now the precedent for, okay, you don't get your way, we're going to just throw a fucking tantrum and make it okay for your everyday citizen to not live in a decorous way.
Right.
Now it's cool to just, like, you know, be disrespectful.
I mean, because think about it. The day I can pull the audio, the day after Donald Trump won last year, I got on our radio station and said, my person didn't win, but I surely hope that Donald Trump proves us wrong, that he brings us together, that he is successful, and that maybe in 4 years I'll be like, wow, color me wrong. He did a damn good job. And he totally threw out the rhetoric that he used on the campaign trail. Well,
yeah.
Now, can you imagine if I took what Trump supporters now say about the election and him. And if I got on the radio 4 years ago and I said, well, that was fake. He did not win. Hillary Clinton's my president. I can't believe it. He stole the election.
No.
Just think about that. Just think about that. All right. We're done. I've said my piece. Thank you for allowing me that. And I'm sorry if I offended you.
Okay. Attack that right on.
Right.
Okay. But
I'm not.
See, I knew you weren't. Like, no. Don't apologize if you don't mean it.
No, I'm not.
It makes it irrelevant when you do mean it.
Holly, what's your social media?
Radio Holly on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram.
Scott?
At Scott Tavlin, ScottTavlin.
And Scott, do you have anything you want to say?
No, that was good. Good discussion. That was a lot of powerful stuff. And I'm also I'm exhausted.
You look like you're about to pass out.
I feel like it, but I got a big day ahead of me. So I'm like, okay.
Oh, well, that's going to be fun. All right. I'm Miguel Fuller, MiguelFuller on TikTok, Instagram, Snapchat, all the places. And if you want a Miguel and Holly sticker, we're doing like a little fire sell, but you're not buying anything. It's all for free. If you want a Miguel and Holly sticker before the holidays, just shoot me an email with your address, miguel@hot1015tampabay.com.
Catch up with the previous episodes of the Miguel and Holly Uncensored podcast from Hot 101.5.
Just hit up the Hot 101.5 app, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts.
Search Miguel and Holly Uncensored.